So today, my title of my message is, you ready for the word? The big announcement. We have an announcement to be made today. It's the biggest announcement of all mankind. And if you'll stand with me, and we'll read this morning. Is it on? It's up there, okay. Ooh, I can't see that, bro. I got so busy this week with DeLon having surgery and this funeral and everything, I forgot to do my PowerPoint, so they did it for me. But here we go. Well, I'll read it right here. You ready? This comes out of Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise today. We thank you for this powerful word. We thank you for the heart of Mary, Father God, that, Lord, let it be to me as according to your word. And I pray that our hearts would be transformed into that today, Father God, that we'd be wholly surrendered unto Jesus, Lord, letting it be to us as according to your word. We thank you for this time in your presence. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm going to ask my daughter Carly, who is from World Rock, our church plant in Kentucky, to come up here for a minute and share with you about what God's doing in Kentucky. Give her a hand as she comes today. Thought I forgot, didn't you?
Good morning. It's good to see all of you guys today. And World Rock, just wanted to thank you today for all your prayers. We receive all of them on Facebook and Messenger and video, and we love it. Thank you so much. We just wanted to give you a quick little update on World Rock. We adopted a family for Christmas, so for the first time, we get to bring a whole family everything that they need for Christmas, presents and dinner and all the fixings, and so we get to do that.
Praise God.
That's going to be super fun. If you could be praying, we're actually praying about another church joining our church and combining our forces to grow and build and get bigger and stronger and reach the city, and that's going to be super fun, so that's something that we're really working on right now. And otherwise, our family is doing amazing, and work is going great, and the kids are getting really big. My son's almost as big as me. And everything's well.
All right. Well, thank
Miss you,
Carly.
Guys.
Take that with you. And I want to welcome my daughter Krista here with us. And Krista, just stand and wave to the people. Come on. Yeah. It's been a great week having all my girls in the house. You know, it's just been a fun time. So God is good. Amen. The big announcement, Jesus is coming. Amen. It's not just that he was born of a virgin birth and came one time, but he's coming again. Can I hear an amen? He is coming again. And this is just so miraculous, these statements that we read in Scripture here today, Because we just see, we have the whole book. We can see how it played out, how Jesus came to life. It's just in a miraculous time. And it was a miraculous visitation for the people to have the Son of God come to the earth. You know, and the thing about it is when something miraculous happens, people either believe it and receive it, or they get confused and unsure of themselves. When something miraculous happens, people make excuses for it and say, well, you know, there is this and there is that. And, you know, we try to explain it away when there's a miracle that happens. But I've seen miracles. I've seen miracles happen that you can't explain away. I've seen dead limbs come back to life. I've seen deaf ears open, you know. I've seen emphysema leave people. I mean, I remember I laid hands on this lady one day and, you know, I didn't even pray. I just laughed. I was so full of joy. The Lord was touching my heart that day. And I laid hands on her. She said she was having a hard time breathing and her throat was closed. And I laid hands on her. And the next day we got up because I had to stay the night there. It was in underground in China. And I got up and she said, I'm healed. And I said, praise God. Well, come to find out, she had emphysema. She'd had that condition for 10 years, and for the first time in 10 years, she could breathe freely. And that lady was so excited. And it reminds me of another lady who's part of our congregation, Diana Borders. She found out this week that she has two tumors on her lungs and that it is spread into her back. And last week when I talked about the disc in the back and praying for it, and the Lord was really touching her. But she went to the doctor because the pain was so bad on Thursday night that, or Friday night, that they said that the tumors have grown, they've eaten into her bones, they've actually eaten holes into her spine. And so they say it's so bad that they probably won't do anything. So I'd like to just take a moment right now and pray for Diana, amen? Because she needs that miraculous touch from the Lord today. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we recognize you as the Lord God, our healer. You are the one who heals us of all our diseases. And Father, I pray for Diana today. I pray, Lord, as your word says, that when we're servants of you, when we follow after you, that you'll put none of these diseases on us. I pray that that disease get off of her lungs in the name of Jesus. Those holes close up in her spine, Father God, that her disc would just grow back the way you designed it, Father. I pray for a supernatural, miraculous healing that'll be a sign of wonder not only to her family but to all who know her, Father. I pray that the healing power of God would come upon her right now, that you raise Diana up, Father God, that she could begin to run again and do all that you've put into her heart, Father. I pray that you touch her today, Father, in the name of Jesus, and touch her children, Father, that they would open up their eyes to who you are, and Father, that you would just touch her and bless her today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. You know, at the same time that this angel had visited Mary a few months before, 6 months before, the same angel visited Zacharias. And when the angel visited Zacharias, the attitude of the man was different than that of the young lady. How we receive what God says about us has a lot to do with what happens to us. Zacharias had that same visitation as Mary, but he walked away a mute until John the Baptist was born. When John was born, Zacharias wrote down on a tablet what his name would be. His name would be John. And when he wrote down his name, then his voice came back to him and he prophesied to the people at that time. And we know what happened to Mary. She went on to birth the Son of God. So how we receive things has a lot to do with what happens in our lives today. So I have a number of questions for you that I want to go through with you. And number one would be, what do you do with the way that God sees you? You know, when you look at what he said about Mary, he said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. She was highly favored. The Lord was with her. And she was blessed among women. That's what God saw when he looked down upon her. And Mary was like, wow, really? You know, and the first thing the angel says, don't be afraid. You know, and a lot of times when we trying to receive from God, people get afraid and don't totally comprehend what God is saying. But today I want to share with you a few thoughts that God thinks about you as a child of God. And the first one is that you are a child of God. And now every one of these I'm going to share with you, I have scripture. If you want to get my notes, just call me and I'll send you my notes. It says that we are the branch of the true vine and a conduit of Christ's life. We are a friend of Jesus. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you're a friend of Jesus. It also declares that we have been justified and redeemed. Justified means that it's just as if I've never sinned. So that's how God looks at you. He looks down at you and he says, wow, you're so clean. You're so pure. You're so holy. You're beloved of God. That's how God looks down at you. It's just an incredible process that God just looks at us in. And he says, we will not be condemned by God. Can I hear an amen? We will not be condemned by God. Says, I've been set free from the law of sin of death. And then he says, as a child of God, I am a fellow heir with Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We are heirs to the throne of God. Jesus says, those that overcome, we're not just going to be in heaven, but we are going to sit on the throne with him. God has plans for us. I mean, he's planned to prosper us and not to harm us. And you know what? It also declares, I have been called a saint. It says, I've been accepted by Christ. You're accepted. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In Christ, this is what he says about us. He says, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. He doesn't dwell in a building made with man's hands. Can I hear an amen? He dwells inside of you and me. He dwells in us. And he makes us the righteousness of God. You know, I don't know how you've been processing what God thinks about you, but I know this. He thinks about you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is God's plan, a future and a hope. He's not up there going, man, how can I make your life miserable today? He's up there going, how can I bless my child? How can I bless my son today? How can I bless my daughter today? See, that's how God is thinking about us. He's not up there going, oh, there they go again. I better drop the hammer on them. That's not God. That's us. That's how we do it. Somebody offends us and we drop the hammer on them. We can't do that. Jesus said, I don't do that. I don't drop the hammer on you. I'm looking for ways to pull you out of where you're at. I'm looking for ways that you be blessed. I'm looking for ways that you can really just walk as the righteousness of God here on this earth, because that's how he sees you. He says that we are joined to the Lord and are one spirit with him. We are joined to the Lord and one spirit with him. God leads us in the triumph and knowledge of Christ Jesus. I mean, all I'm reading to you is scriptures. There's not enough time to give you all the, I mean, I got like 40 of these things, you know, we'd be here all day. No amen. I got one. All right. Thanks, Robert. The hardening of my mind has been removed in Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. I have become the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been made one with all. Look at your neighbor and say, all. You've been made one with all who are in Christ Jesus. You know, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that was so great when I was in India, when I was back in the jungles. And I told him, you know, this is what's awesome. I am here in the jungles of India visiting my brothers and sisters that I didn't know that were here. But that's what's so wonderful. When we're in Christ, we're one. Amen? I'm no longer a slave, but a child and an heir. We're not a slave to sin. We're a child of God. We're an heir of Jesus Christ. And he says, I've been set free in Christ. I've been set free. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, the scripture says, blessed is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. What are you doing with that? How are you taking that into your life, what God says about you? It says, I am chosen, holy, and blameless before God. I'm redeemed and forgiven by the grace of Christ. You know, the only thing you're not forgiven of is what you don't forgive. I said this a long time ago, the unpardonable sin. I know when we talk about the unpardonable sin, you know, we talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but what is the unpardonable sin for you? It's whatever you can't forgive. He says, I am redeemed and forgiven by the grace of Christ. I've been predestined by God to obtain an inheritance. See, when I read that word predestined, I see that Jesus died for everybody. Amen. So we're all destined for this inheritance, but it's just, can you receive it? Can you receive what Jesus has done for you? I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because of God's mercy and love, I've been made alive in Jesus Christ. I'm alive in Jesus. Is there anybody here alive in Jesus today? Hallelujah. I am sealed in heavenly places with Christ. I am God's workmanship created to produce good works. Everybody say good. Yeah. Amen. I've been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a member of Christ's body and a partaker of his promise. I have boldness and confident access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. My new self is righteous and holy. Now, I remember my old self, and it was so far from righteous and holy. But today, man, my new man, amen, our new man, we are made righteous and holy. And you know, a lot of times we base that on how we act. Perfect we are, or how perfect we aren't. I base it on this. Jesus. Jesus. How perfect he is. How holy he is. Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. So in my imperfections, and how many of you know we all have imperfections? There's none of us here that are perfect today. But in our imperfections, Jesus makes us righteous. Where we are weak, he's strong. And he can overcome, and he overtakes. And I do know this, that when I came to the Lord, man, I had a lot of imperfections. My marriage was a mess. And we were just, you know, our marriage was toast. We were ready to get divorced. We were in the middle of a bankruptcy. It was just, it was so bad. But when we came to Jesus, we just made a decision to follow after the Lord. I made a decision in my life that I was going to work in my imperfections. I didn't care what Delonda did. I was going to work on my own imperfections. Because you, how many of you know you can't change anybody? I can't change Delonda. She can't change me. But I decided I'm going to work in my imperfections. And then one day, Pastor Dave asked me to teach a class on marriage. I thought, you know how good my marriage is, right? I mean, I'm working it, but you know. And so for the next 5.5 years, they had me teach a class. We called it Mates. Marriage Alive Through Example and Study. And it changed my life. What I taught, because I don't like to talk about anything I'm not doing. And so it changed my marriage. It transformed me. And along the way, Delonda was being transformed by the Word of God. And it's just amazing what God has done in our lives. You know, and to think that God has even made us the pastors of this church is a miracle. And we are just so glad to be a part of this house. And I'm so thankful for your prayers. You know, they sent Delonda home the same day she had the surgery this week. She, you know, she's sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. And I'm like, hey, you know, want to go home? And she's like, oh, yeah, let's go home. Amanda was there with me, and she finally got up and did the bathroom duty, and we were able to just, you know, wheel her out and get her in the car, and she just walked right upstairs and got ready for bed and went to bed. Just miraculous. God's hand. Because your prayers. My new self is righteous and holy. And here's one I really like. I was formerly darkness, but now I'm the light of the Lord. And it's not me saying, that's what he says about us. You were formerly in darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. That's what he says. It says, for you were at one time darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In Ephesians 5, verse 8. That's wonderful. And then he declares that we are citizens of heaven. Amen. The peace of God guards my heart and my mind. God supplies all my needs. I've been made complete in Christ. Can I hear an amen? I've been made complete in Christ. I've been raised up with Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is my life, and I will be revealed with him in glory. I have been chosen of God, and I am holy and beloved. Hallelujah. God loves me and has chosen me. I'm going to stop right there on all that stuff, okay? You get the idea? This is what God says about those that believe in Jesus. It's not just, well, you get to go to heaven someday. This is who he declares you are today, here, and now. And the more we embrace these truths from Scripture about who we've become in Christ, the more stable, the more grateful, and fully assured we will be in this world. It's incredible stuff. This is incredible what God thinks about us. It is way more than he said to Mary. Way more than he said to Mary. So how should we respond? What should we be doing now? I look at the response of Zacharias and that of Mary, and they both ask the same question. How? They both asked, how? In their answers, there must have been a difference, because one walked away mute, one walked away having the child of God. So, number two, what is your attitude towards what God thinks about you? It's like this. I'm going to use my notes because I don't want to mess this up. I'll use my daughter, since my wife's not here. It's like someone walking up to you and telling you how great you look, and because you don't feel it, you brush them off. And you think, oh, well, they're just lying to me, you know, because I'm the pastor's daughter, so they're just telling me nice things because I'm the pastor's daughter. They don't see what I see. You just brush it off. But when you're feeling pretty, when you're feeling like you look great, like yesterday, like today, when you look so beautiful, and you're here, and you're like, amen. You come into agreement with it because you feel like you look good, you feel pretty, you feel good about yourself today. You're glad to come back and not only represent me as my daughter, but your husband and World Rock and what God is doing in Kentucky. You just feel good about it, and you come and you share and you smile and you look great. And you're going to walk out of here like, hallelujah. Yeah. You see, that's how we take the word of God. The attitude that you take the word of God with, you either brush it off and say, I'm not the holiness of God. He doesn't know who he's talking to. Or you say, I am that. I may not be perfect, but I'm going after that. I want to be what God says I am. I want to attain those things that God says about me. I want to be the righteousness and the holiness of God. I want to be all things in Christ Jesus. I want to be able to do all things in Christ who gives me strength. I want to shine and be the light of the world. I want to be the light of the Lord to the world. I want people to look at me and say, man, there goes somebody that's just different than anybody I've ever met. Amen. I want people your attitude. How you receive the Word of God has a lot to do with how the Word of God plays out in your life. If you just brush it off and you think, eh, then chances are it's not going to happen in your life. It's not going to come forth. It's going to be just blasé. But if we could get it in our hearts that God loves you, God loves us, that he has a plan for us, that he is not out to squash us, but to give us life. See, I told my wife one time, because I say stupid things sometimes. Is there any guys here that say stupid things sometimes? Yeah, every man in the life. Bear, no? Yeah, all right. I say stupid things sometimes. And I told her one day, I said, listen, you have to know my heart. My heart, number one, is I love you so much. And my heart, number two, I never want to offend you. So when I say something stupid, if you could go back to those two things, he loves me and he never wants to offend me, you'll never get offended by me, and you'll just slap me upside the head and say, did you really want to say that? And I love it when she does it because it gives me a chance to say, nope. But when we take in that bad stuff and we get offended and we get hurt, we just don't attain what God has for us. But when you can say, no matter what happens in your life, I know that you love me, God. I know that you have a plan for me. But I know this, tough things happen. Tough things happen. This morning happened. A funeral for my sister-in-law's brother, who at 33 years of age, a week ago Friday, went home from work at 3 o'clock because he wasn't feeling good. At 5:30, they found him dead on the couch. They don't know what happened. He didn't do drugs or anything like that. Just a good kid. How do you receive, and what is your attitude with what God says about you? Because it's going to make a difference in your life. It's made a difference in mine. Zacharias and Mary had two different attitudes. Zacharias was stuck on what his mind could take in. We can't have kids. Do you know how old we are? And man, the angel, Gabriel, he got riled up. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. But sometimes our own attitudes, we can't receive what God has for us. Mary's response was incredible. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me as according to your word. So this leads me to the third and final question. Let me move my clock. The great thing, the third and final question is, how have you been responding to the word of the Lord? What are you doing with it? Because that's all that matters. The great thing about Jesus is that he allows do-overs. He allows do-overs. How many of you have ever had to needed a do-over? Oh, hallelujah. Me too. A do-over with God, a do-over with my wife, a do-over with my kids. I've needed some do-overs. And God is always gracious enough to allow me that chance. Hallelujah. He gives us the opportunity for do-overs. He allows us to get our attitude right towards him and gives us a complete new opportunity to begin to respond to him in a new way. The way that Mary did and not Zacharias. Too many people are not fulfilling their God-given destiny. Too many people. And it all boils down to how they feel about themselves. No one can change it. It's between you and God how you feel about yourself. You can say, oh, people say bad things about me. My parents abuse me. I don't want to say so, but, you know, Move on. You got to move on. Jeanette, at 10 years of age, was abandoned on the streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico. At 10 years old, her mom left her there. And she went to school for months, eating out of a trash can, getting clothes from a shelter, and still going to school and just sleeping behind a church. And she's turned out great. Amen. Now, she went through things, but she just keeps submitting to God and keep glorifying God and keep running to Jesus with things. I had a man the other day come to the office. He don't come to church, but once in a while. He said, well, I had to come here. I need to talk to you. And I'm like, all right, man. Well, you need to get past just coming and talking to me, and you need to come to Jesus. You need to surrender your life to the Lord and just get in with God, because that's where it's at. That's what changed my life. We had another young man come crying on Friday. He'd made some bunch of mistakes, and he missed his opportunity to go to a rehab, and, you know, it was a court-ordered thing, and he was crying, and Valerie's letting him use his phone. And I said, man, you just need to give your life to Jesus. He said, well, I go to church every Sunday. I said, who cares? You haven't given your life to Jesus yet. And he just looked at me. I said, you got to surrender to the Lord. Because in Christ, man, there's a fullness of joy, amen? In Christ, we can do all things. We can overcome the obstacles of this world. I have overcome so many obstacles that, you know, that are generational in my life. And I overcame them through the blood of Jesus, through what Him working in my life, from surrendering to Him, from believing that He wants to do a great thing in me. My little brother today asked me before the funeral, the memorial service, he said, are you nervous? I said, no. And he goes, yeah, all right. I said, listen, I talk in front of a lot of people I don't know, so I don't get nervous anymore. I'm just willing. And when God speaks to me, I'm going to respond. It's just like the Arabic church. You know, you could say we have enough going on here. But every man that spoke last night said, this has to happen. There has to be a pushback against the mosque that's been established in our city. To be a pushing back in the spirit. Because our battle's not against flesh and blood. They said, this has to happen. And they were so excited for the vision that we have to see the kingdom of God move in the Arabic people in our community. And who knew there were so many of them around us that were waiting for an opportunity to come to church. This place was filled, and I believe that we're going to see a move of God in the Arabic people in this city. It was prophesied last night. It's been in my heart for a couple of years now, and God is doing wonderful things. But listen, it all starts with God just put it in my heart. What's God putting in your heart? What has God been saying to you that you've just been going, because you don't feel it? I told you already, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is how God is thinking about you. How have you been thinking about Him? Is your mind set on things above or on things beneath? Are you thinking about how you can have a better attitude, how you can have a better response to what God is saying? What are you doing with what He's thinking about you? Are you just rolling through this life? Are you stopping and saying, God, what do you want? What do you want out of me? It's caused me to let go a lot of things of this world, change my attitude on things. And He's always working on our attitude if you let Him. It causes me to praise him all the time. I think about him all the time. I want to be a blessing to him. I want him to get excited when I move on his behalf. You know, it's just like when I played football, my dad was my greatest fan. You know, and God is our biggest fan. God is your biggest fan. He is cheering you on. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be blessed. Amen. I like to go where he calls me to go. I get excited when I'm going and doing these things. I was so excited last night to be here because we have hope for the city and hope for the world. So I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I am never not excited to preach the Word of God with you on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. I am always excited to be here. And my heart leaps for joy because I get to share the Word of God with you. What is your heart doing? What are you doing with what God says about you today? The Israelites, they complained and they didn't trust what God said about them. And many of them died without receiving the promise. What are you doing with what God has planned for you? The Israelites knew all about the coming Messiah, but didn't believe it when it happened, even though it happened right in front of them. What are you doing with what God says about you? The word tells us the signs of his coming. We know that things are winding down in this life. What are you doing with what Jesus has done for you? We're at a time that I don't believe we can play games with God any longer. Play games with what he's done for us. We have to enter into his plan now. Mary said it so wonderfully. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me as according to your word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love that you think about us. I love, Father God, that your heart is for us, that from the foundations of the world you had a plan for us, a plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. I love that you're thinking about us today, that you're thinking about how to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. And Lord, I thank you that your love is for us and that you're not against us. And if God be for us, who could be against us? I thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, because it's your loving kindness that leads us to repentance, that causes us to change directions that our life has been going. And maybe you're here today and you'd like to respond to God the way that Mary did. Behold, a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as according to your word. If that's you today, no matter what's happened yesterday, no matter how good, bad, indifferent you've been, but you say today, let it be to me as according to your word. I want you to just stand to your feet right now. And let's just pray together. Come on, you're saying, let it be to me. It's okay if you who you are, what you've done, it doesn't matter. Good, bad, or indifferent, let it be to me as according to your word. Father, you see these that are standing. I pray, Father God, that they have an open ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them. That, Lord, they not just brush off the things that you've declared about them today. But, Father God, they'd enter in and they'd press into what you say about them. That, Lord, that we'd grip what you say about us. And Lord, we would just begin to walk out what you say about us, letting go of the things that we've thought, letting go of our own feelings about ourselves, and attaining what you feel about us. Lord, that we would walk in what you think, what you say, what you believe for us. And that, Lord, that we would let go of those things that are behind us. And Lord, we'd just begin to attain God like never before. So, Father, I pray a covering over every person here today. I pray your blessing be upon them today. I pray, Father God, that as we go, our hearts will be filled with joy of knowing what that you are thinking about us and that you have a plan. Let that plan just come to life in each one of us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You unravel me with a melody.
If you need prayer, I'm just going to ask the altar workers to come forward. And why don't you come and give prayer. Let them come into agreement with you today for the commitment you're making today. Let it be to me as you said, Father. Let them come into agreement with you today.